If you have your Bibles, turn them to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah. We're going to be in chapter 3 of Zephaniah, verses 14 through 20. And while you're turning there, I did forget to call the kids up to get them their clipboard. So if you need your clipboards, I'm going to bother Leanne. She's already back there, children. So if you don't have one, you can steal one from Miss Leanne back there. She will be glad to get you taken care of. Thank you, Leanne. I totally forgot. I'm glad somebody here pays attention. Do you need one also, Chris? All right, Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Would you rise to your feet? Let's read the word of the Lord together. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Come back that up, Kyle. Let's read this together. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the people of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, you may be seated. I feel like we don't get excited enough about reading Scripture. Right? We don't get excited enough about a lot of things. And I try to be careful about that because I am an excitable kind of person, sometimes too much. I thought, for example, yesterday I was at Ross with Trina, and I thought I was doing a wonderful job of speaking to somebody about their beautiful family, and I'm so glad Trina's there because she pointed out to me that really you came out more like a creepy dude. I'm like, oh, my bad. I wasn't trying to be that. I'm a talkative person. I like to talk to people. I like to engage. I'm excitable about everything. And when I see stuff, here's the thing, just so you guys know this about me, I want you to get excited with me. Right? I want everyone to get excited with me. And herein lies the thing. So if you read verse 14, it says, sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Let me hear shouting here. You guys shout. That was weak sauce. Let me hear you shout. All right, we're getting there. We'll work on that, right? We get a little kind of held back because we're like, what? Shout? But he says, sing aloud. How many of us sing aloud? I love to sing a lot. Anyone who's been around me knows I love to sing. And if you notice, look, I got this mic on, and I got this mic right here, too. You guys see this one here? But check it out. Jim doesn't turn that on. And when I sing, if I don't turn this off, you know what Jim does? Bloop. Say boo. Thank you, Jim. Right? To be fair, yeah, I see, like, whoever's standing today is Michaela, and occasionally I can see her going like this, like. Right? Because I sing, and I sing in the key of me. Because I'm here to sing a song. I love to sing. So this for me, this is awesome. Rejoice and be jubilant, right? Rejoice and exult with all your heart. This is really cool because really a more literal translation, because there's no word your in Hebrew. It's rejoice wholeheartedly, right? Celebrate, rejoice wholeheartedly to the Lord. I mean, how many of us rejoice wholeheartedly about anything? Do you have a reason to celebrate? And sometimes we do, like the birth of a child, you have a celebration. Or me, I loved the thing I loved about growing up in a Mexican household, like when we did things, like we celebrated. And I don't know how y'all are going to take this, but when we celebrated, like my tios would show up in the morning and the pig was going to die. Like there was going to be a celebration. Right, we were gonna have chicharrones, and we were gonna. There's gonna be singing, and at some point, somebody's gonna bust out one of those big old giant guitars. I don't even know what they call it, right? And then they toca it like that, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba, right? They're celebrating stuff. When I had my first communion as a Catholic, woo, man, the family gathered. We had us a shindig. We got down all Mexican style. There were enchiladas like coming out, fideos, sopas, all kinds of stuff. Like we celebrate. How many of us celebrate anymore? We want to, we should celebrate things. And sometimes we find reasons to celebrate, to get excited about stuff, to just scream about stuff. So do we have reasons to celebrate? Here's my favorite time to celebrate. And everybody in my family is going to, they're going to amen this in a very mean way. My favorite time to celebrate, Gina's already like, here we go. It's like if, between 5 and 6 in the morning, right? Is that right? I love that time. That is my favorite time to sing and be happy. And it's because I'll sing, like I woke up Kyle Saturday morning, right? It's a Saturday. He was going to go with his friends later on to Santa Cruz. He had nothing going on. His homework was caught up, right? He worked hard. He stayed up all night the night before going to both games, going to the Pacheco football game. So he came in late, right? He's a teenage boy. And so, man, I just could not believe he was not excited when I woke him up at 6 in the morning. Like instead of being all, woo, Dad, thank you. Yeah, that's right. It's Saturday morning, getting excited. This is what he does. Close the door. Oh, get the dogs out. It's like, Kyle, you should get up. And then he comes out. This is Kyle comes out, man. Kyle so new, because that's how teenage boys come out, right? Just in his chonies. And his hair is all kind of like, you guys have seen his hair like it. Morning, Kyle. Big mug. This boy has to have like 2 gallons of coffee in him in like 3 hours in the morning before you can even recognize that he's a living human being. He is not a morning person. And I don't understand those kind of people. Because I love the mornings. This was my Saturday morning. Like I got up early Saturday morning. I slept in. It was like 5:30 or something before I got up. Got up, was working on a project for a friend Saturday morning and needed to get some parts at O'Reilly's, but sadly they didn't open until 7:30, right? Slackers. So it's all right, no big deal. Got everything ready. I was ready to go. Had everything ready, all ready to rock and roll already. So I left the house 7 o'clock in the morning, right? 7 in the morning on my way to O'Reilly's Saturday morning. And this is the nice thing about Los Baños Saturday mornings is if you do it early enough, it's calm, right? So I'm driving to O'Reilly's, and Saturday mornings when the sun's just coming up and it's still cool outside, right? The best music in the world, I think, is Red Dirt Country. Like, and if y'all know, you know what Red Dirt Country is. Jim's back there going, yeah, right? Okay, so I'm jamming to me to some Coda Jinx going down the road, jamming, and the sun's, and I'm on my way to O'Reilly's. And it's the most beautiful, amazing time in the morning. And here's why it is. Because the chaos of the world seems to be at its calmest for me. And there's so much potential for the day, right? Some of you know, like, if you get in early, you're like, yeah, this is the time. See, I love the early parts of the morning. I love to come to church, you know, Monday through Friday. Rebecca comes in pretty early. She's usually here by 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And so I try to be there long before anybody gets here. So I come in, have some prayer time, alone time. I like to drink my coffee with God and be in my office and get work done. And so, you know, because just be relaxing. And I'm reminded in the mornings when things are calm and there's still potential for the day, right? The day hasn't kind of done what the day does. I'm reminded that the rat race of life, that's not what life is all about. That whole, I need to just get all this done and be successful and accomplish this, that's not even what life is about. That's never what it was supposed to be about. I think, and I feel bad for anybody who hasn't done it because I really believe this to be true. Until you've hiked in the Rocky Mountains and listened to elk bugle as the sun breaks over and it starts to bleed these rays of light into the aspens and the pine trees. And the heat starts to move the breeze so that the air comes through and you breathe this, it's kind of like cold, refreshing air that when you breathe out, just it gives away your presence by the smoke that's there, right? Just that mist that comes back out. Until you've had the time to do that and see life start to come about, the turkeys come out of the roost and they'll start to walk around and you start to hear the noises of life coming to being. Until you've done all that, you've never really appreciated creation. I loved that. That's my favorite. And it's a good thing because I'm a horrible hunter. Right? And I definitely am out there more for just being there. I love the mornings and I love to sing in the mornings. I've literally sang with the elk in the mornings. And I told Trina, I was like, I should bring my elk bugle call so that the church can hear them. And I thought against it, so you're welcome. But it's probably not as beautiful in here as it would be out in the Rocky Mountains. But I've done it for Trina over the phone and she loves it, right? Right, dear? No. No. Yeah, definitely not. Okay. But during that time, listen, during that time when you're in those places, even if it's on the forebay, when you still got the glass top or wherever it is, the very act of breathing in cool air, it becomes a very sacred and peace-filling time. Right? Like this is just, it's a holy moment, if you will. And so for me, that's why the early mornings really are my favorite. Because the light's just breaking in. It's still cool outside. Things are calmer. It's when I like to pray. It's when I like to work. It's when I like to hunt. And it's when I love to sing out loud with a great song. Sometimes to the annoyance of the people that I love the most and I want to feel my joy, but I love to sing out loud with a great song because I'm excited by what I see. I'm excited by what I feel. I'm excited by the possibilities that this day brings. And I just want everyone to feel that excitement with me. I can't contain it. I've always been that kid who just talked. Being a pastor worked out. And so my question to you is this. And here's the one that I really want you to think about. Is there anything about God that makes us want to sing like that? Is there anything about God that makes us realize that there's so much more than just the chaos of this world? And sadly, if we're honest, for many Christians and maybe for many of us here, if we're honest, the answer would simply be no, not really. In fact, if we're honest, I think we might even say, and I know there are a lot who feel this way, if anything, God just seems to be another cog in this chaos machine. He's just another thing I'm supposed to do. He's another responsibility that I have. This faith, this walk with God, this being a part of a church, of religion, of ministry, of whatever it is, God really, for a lot of Christians, is just another mouth to feed. I got to feed him with my tithe and with my time. I get it, you're important. So are my kids. I get it that I need you, right? I need my parents, obviously, or I wouldn't be here. But all of these things that you want, God, your church and all this, they are just things that take up more of my time in life. And if we're honest, for a lot of us, we feel like God is just needy. And while I have him, and I'm glad to have him, I feel like the honeymoon is over if there ever really was one. Like, yeah, I can kind of remember a time when I was all excited and on fire and everything was great. And it just kind of, you know, we just kind of got into a rut. And like, I feel like maybe me and God should have got some marriage counseling or we should have done some stuff. But we went our own ways. And I love him and he'll always be a part of my life. But it's just, I have so much, and he's just so needy. He's so there. Come to church. Go do this. Read my word. Follow this. Hug. I get it. But I have this. Can you just find some other friends or something? And the reality is, this is how a lot of us feel about God, even right here. This is how we perceive him. We may have never said it that way. We probably never want to say it that way. We may push back and say, well, those aren't the words I'd use. But that is how we feel. That's why it's so hard to come to church. That's why it's so hard to participate in these things. That's why we say, I can no longer do the Wednesday nights or I don't want to be a part of this. Because the reality is God is just so needy and I just don't
Just don't, God.
So listen to what Zephaniah has to teach us through this. Listen to what God says through the prophet. In verse 15, he says, "The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He's turned away your enemies." All right, we get it, right? We're probably all here because we all know that Jesus takes away our sins. I think everybody in this room gets that, right? Jesus takes away our sins. We all get that by His grace. He offers us forgiveness for sins so that we can be restored into the line of Abraham as the people of God. Yada, yada, yada. I said the prayer. I got baptized. We've done that. We're there. But consider how many of us no longer consider it important to attend church regularly. Like, we get that, but this other thing isn't that important. I mean, I look at attendance, and it's not just here, it's everywhere. It's declining all across the board. We're starting to say, it's not that important to me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not, you know, those who would normally have stayed, say, hey, I'm going to go to the dinner afterwards, right? It's an extra thing. I'm not going to do that. I did the church thing. I get in, I get out. It's not that important to attend church regularly. And when they do attend church, when they do come to church, and there's, you know, we might be us here, when we do consider church, how many of them are even barely there? Like, I come in a little bit late because I don't want to go through the whole boring, you know, awkward announcements, the first few songs. I don't like those. I just want to get in, get it done, maybe come in after the children's time. Then when I come in, I'm up and out, you know, a million times to go to the restroom or whatever. And I'm watching the clock. Oh my goodness, it's gonna go long today. I've got this other thing I've got to do. As soon as it's over, watch the door, beat the crowd. Oh, there's so and so. They're gonna want to talk. I need to make sure that I get out of here. Hey, let's be honest, we do that. And I see this. I watch you guys. I know. I can tell you sometimes, like, so and so's gonna duck out, and poof, there they go, right? Because we're out. I want to get out as fast as I can, get about my life, because I'm never even here. I'm here because I have to, because it's my date night with God, and we have to do it. And He gets all mad if I don't show up. And we leave, and so even the ones that are here are barely even here. And I can't help but wonder if maybe it's because we hear about this forgiveness, right? We all know about it. Even those who come in that way or don't even come to church anymore. Yeah, you know, I was going to come, pastor, but in light of COVID, I stay home and I just got in the habit. I know I need to get there. But maybe it's because we hear about this forgiveness. They know about this forgiveness. But we don't actually take the time to consider how this forgiveness plays out even right now in our lives. I mean, have we ever thought more about this forgiveness, about what it means? Other than, well, it means I don't go to hell when I die. But I don't understand in the meantime why God's got to be so needy. If I'd have known that, I'd have waited till like just before I died. I wish I knew when I was going to die. Because then I could accept Him then. And then I could move on and go to heaven. I wouldn't have to waste my whole life with God adding to the chaos of my life. After all, that's everybody unequally. But listen to what the prophet continues to say. Through the prophet, God says, "The king of Israel, the Lord is in your midst." This is cool. Like, so when you look at your Bibles, you see the capital letters Lord, right? Here's what he's saying. In the King of Israel, the Lord, he's saying his name, Yahweh, is in your midst. Just let that sink in for a second. God is with you. The Lord is in your midst. This is present tense. Right now, God is in your midst. Not later, not just once upon a time, but right now. Everywhere that you go. And why do we gather? God's with us everywhere. Is God here? Absolutely. But we gather here in this space with the symbols, with the music, with the liturgy, with all the things that we do. We intentionally do these things to help us refocus as a group and be aware of God. It's not so we can conjure Him. We need to do this spell so God will arrive. God's here. God's always been there. The problem is we don't even notice Him. We just walk right through Him and ignore Him like He's not even there. It's kind of like, I think of Patrick Swayze on Ghost, right? People just keep walking through. It's like, I'm right here. Nobody sees me, right? God is always there. So we gather here to focus on Him so we can stop. We can retune ourselves through song, through prayer, through reading, and say, okay, God is here. Let me be focused on God and hear His voice, all eyes upon Him. And so we gather here recognizing that God is in your midst. He's always in your midst. He's always been there. We gather here to remind us that when you leave here, God goes with you. He's there. He's out there. He's already been there. And because He's there in this chaotic world, in this world of the rat race, because He's there, we don't have to fear the chaos. I don't have to become a slave to that chaos. My whole life is about bringing order to the chaos. I no longer have to fear it. I recognize it's real. And because I don't fear it and I recognize it's real, instead of giving in to the chaos and responding to the chaos, I now can take my hands and use them as the hands of those who are fearless. And I can make sure that my hands do not grow weak. My hands will be strong in this world because I am emboldened by the Lord, because I know that He is there. I am fearless and I am bold to do His work. And then he says in verse 17 again, the Lord, Yahweh, says him by name, not Buddha, not the government, not your buddy John, whoever, God, Yahweh, He's in your midst, and He is a warrior that gives victory. He does this, again, right now, He gives you victory in the places you never would have thought possible. Man, I love this. This is one of the things that I really love about the mornings now, and why I annoy my family and I love to wake them up. Because when I wake up in the morning and I see all this amazingness, right? I get so excited. I've always gotten excited by the mornings. But really, I was okay with it just being me. But now I've got a wife and kids and dogs and turtles and rabbits and lions and bears. Oh my, right? I've got this whole family thing. I love my family, and I look at them and I realize you are the victory that God has given me. And I want to share this with my family. And so to their annoyance, I'm like, I'm going to wake you up singing anyway. You're going to kill me one day, but I'm going to love you while you do it. And I'm going to sing to you because you're my victory. God right now gives a victory in our lives. He has given me this victory right now in my life. This thing that I never would have had. This thing that I never should have had, He gives to me. Now, does that mean that the enemy never attacks and nothing bad ever happens in my family because God gives us victories? Of course not. Man, the enemy attacks us all the time. In fact, horrible, horrific things happen in my life. Horrible, horrific things happen to my family. But the Lord gives us victory over those things, so I am not afraid of the chaos of the enemy. Those things will come and I'll deal with them. And I don't like them, I don't want them, but I am not afraid of them because God gives me victory. And not just that, yeah, like that's good stuff right there, right? Like, it says, and then because of this, like I wasn't loud enough before, now I can celebrate. Even in the darkness and the most intimidating moments of my life, no matter how bad things are, no matter how intimidating, no matter how much it looks like my entire world has fallen apart, the wind has been taken from my sails, my breath has been knocked out of me. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? No matter how bad that has happened, I can celebrate. Because I know that God is with me. God gives me victory. And more than that, when I celebrate, when I sing, I don't even sing alone. It says, He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. It's on a day of a festival. Think about that. God sings with me and over me. Man, no matter what I'm at, in the darkest parts of my life, whatever's happening, God comes and He rejoices with me. He is glad for me. He's glad to have me in His life. He's glad that I'm participating with Him in this amazing act of restoration in this world. And so He rejoices over me. God rejoices over me, which is crazy. Because when I start singing in the morning at 6 in the morning, the only person who rejoices with me is Bruno the dog. And only that's because I feed him. That's it. Nobody else rejoices with me. Isaac will get up. He'll be nice, but he just wants to play Xbox. Right? Nobody rejoices with me except God. God rejoices over me with gladness. And then when all of this is taken, when I feel like the wind's gone out of me, when I feel like I'm going to die, like there's nothing I can do, He renews me with His love because He fills me with His love. And I know how much He loves me because every morning I look out and I see the sun come up and I realize it didn't have to come up today. It could have stayed hot all the time. I didn't have to have this next opportunity. I could be anywhere else, but I'm right here and You gave me this opportunity. He renews me in His love. And that's awesome. And so I look at the mornings and no matter what's happening, I know, man, God is doing this. And more than that, He's singing over me. He's singing with me in a loud voice. God doesn't sing all. God's singing loud with me. And I love that. This is what he does right now for each one of us. And not just loud. He sings loud as on a day of a festival. Have y'all ever been to a concert where you're up front singing? How do people sing at a concert, right? You sing out loud. Why? Because you don't think anyone can hear you. Man, I don't know. I'm singing out loud, getting it. This is like a festival. We're celebrating. This is like my tios, and we have the band out there, and you can smell the chicharrones, and everything's going on, and like we're celebrating loud and proud. This is how God sings over you. Isn't that awesome? That's cool. We should be excited about this, man. This is, and there are disasters that have come into my life. There are disasters that have come into your life. There are disasters that are going to come into my life. There are disasters that are going to come into your life. This is true for every one of us, but it will not be forever. Because he is making things new even right now. This is just a taste of what he's going to do. And we can celebrate and enjoy part of it even now. He says, I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. There's going to be a time when God is going to take care of all these things. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. He is going to restore all things in ways we cannot possibly imagine. And there's so much more too that he says, I'm going to save the lame. How many of us have felt so crippled by life that we don't think we can be saved? Crippled by sin, crippled by addiction, crippled by bad decisions that we've made, crippled by the way things have happened to us, crippled by abuse, crippled by hurt, crippled by betrayal, crippled by so many things. We've been made lame where normal people say, you cannot proceed from here. You're done. It's okay if you tap out. And God says, I'm going to save them. If that's you, you're in the group of people God's going to save. That's good. You're in the A group. Man, when you're boarding, that's a good thing. I never get the A group, and I'm too cheap to pay the money. Right? Come on. He says, I'll gather the outcast. I'll gather the outcast. How many people feel like they simply don't belong? I don't belong to be to this group. I don't belong here. I don't belong there. I don't belong in this world. I just don't belong to anything that's happening. I feel out of place everywhere that I'm at. He says, I'm going to gather that outcast. He says, I'm going to change the shame into praise and renown in all the earth. And how many people believe that the shame is permanent? That this thing I've done, the shame is going to continue on forever. I've told you guys so many times in my story, I brought shame into my life. I was an addict. I was violent. I was angry. I was a horrible, horrible excuse of a human being to the point that nobody thought anything good could happen from me. To the point where my own mom just hoped that I would at least just live and not go to prison. Like, this is where I was at. I was a horrible person. Even I didn't expect anything out of my life. We believe that our shame is permanent. I thought the things that I've done, they're permanent. But God didn't just get rid of that shame. He says he takes that shame and he turns it into praise and renown in all the earth. Maybe you think that it's different with you, that okay, I've done this and it can't change. But listen, where I was, the person who brought death, the person who was angry and full of rage, the Lord took and has given me passion and love. And I like to feel like he's using me for good things in this world today. That he uses me to share his word, that he uses all of us to do good things. And then he blesses me. He gives me a family, a wife, and children. And again, these crazy dogs and turtles and all these ridiculous things, and a brother-in-law, and all the amazing gifts that God gives us. I have all of these things. He's taken these things that were shame, and now they're praiseworthy for me. I sing about these. I love my family. I love these things. That's why, you know, someone had said, whenever pastor preaches, you know that he's going to talk about tohu bohu, the number of people in the world, and he's going to talk about his family. I love my family, because for me, it's the reminder of what God has given me. That he's taken my shame and he's turned it around. Any shame, anything that we've done, God will turn it around. He will use it.
He will make things new. This is something we need. This is what forgiveness is about. Are we getting this? That this isn't just about I said a prayer, so when I die, I just got to keep it secret. When I die, God's going to forget about it. No one's going to think about it. It's God saying, look, you did this, but because I love you, I'm going to take that shame that you're afraid. I'm going to take the power from it. I'm going to show it to people. And you're going to be afraid of that. But don't be, because I'm going to take all the power that sin has. I'm going to render it neuter. And then I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to use it to bring praise into this world. Something you couldn't have imagined. And I'm going to do that now. I'm going to use you to bring life into this world. I'm going to use your shame to bring praise into this world. I'm going to use your shame to bring renown. I'm going to use your story to lift others up, because that's what I do now. That should be something that's praiseworthy, right? But we worry about these things because in our mind, there are certain things that we can't fix. I told you guys, I love listening to country music in the mornings, because and maybe it's a habit growing up, because in Farmington, Saturday mornings, you had Saturday morning country cafe, which was just awesome. I mean, they played nothing but good old country hits. And back then it was the 90s, so nothing that was later than about 85. Now my stuff in high school's classic, whatever. I'm not old, right? But all right, good music that you just... So I was listening to the radio, and one of my favorite bands from my time was Confederate Railroad. Y'all know who Confederate Railroad is, anybody, right? No, poor Mark. We're going to... But there's a song... that I think speaks to how we view these things. And I told Trina, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to sing it or not. And until just now, I wasn't sure. So I'm going to sing it. I remember waking in the morning to the sound of the rooster's crow. Mama cooking in the kitchen. Arthur Godfrey on the radio. Me and Dad were just like strangers. We never did see eye to eye. It came to blows one Sunday morning. So I packed my bags and I said goodbye. When you leave that way, you can never go back. A train won't run on a torn up track. Sometimes I wished I'd never roamed, oh no. When you leave that way, you can never go home. I know I can't sing. I don't care. Right? Here's the thing. We have in our minds that maybe there's something I've done, something that's going on that even something someone else has done that we think, I can never go home. It can never be fixed right. This song, this verse especially hits for me because in June 2001, this happened with me and my father. We found ourselves one day done. He left, peeling out. And I thought that'll be the last time I ever talk to that man again in my entire life. In fact, I was committed at that point. I'm not even going to go to his funeral. I want nothing to do with him. And I do believe, he felt the same way about me. I'm done with him. So I went back into the shop. I went back to my life, drinking, drugs, everything else, thinking that's it. We've crossed a line. I said things that I can't unsay. He said things he can't unsay. We can never fix what little bit of a relationship we had anymore. It's done. When you leave that way, you can never go home. My dad, however, drove north and he went to Salt Lake City. He went to a Victory Outreach where he checked himself into a rehab. I want to say he found Jesus, but he finally opened his eyes and saw Jesus who had been with him forever. And my dad began to pray. He spent the next years praying for me, for my siblings, everybody that he knew. And if you've been around my dad and you've heard him pray, Isaac will attest to this. He prays for everybody. Huh, Isaac? It's you pack a lunch when he prays. But his prayers had softened my heart. I know for a fact that his prayers were a huge part of softening my heart so I could find my way back home to Jesus. And then through Jesus, find my way back home to my dad, whom I now have the closest relationship I've ever had with him.
In fact, I'm super close with my dad now. I love being with him. I like to think he loves being with me, but I'm a lovable kind of guy. Listen to what the prophet says, or what God says through the prophet. And at that time, I'll bring you home. There's so many of us who've taken for granted that God allows us to come home. He fixes our marriages, our families, our relationships with our children, with our parents. That He gives us opportunities to reach those who have been lost. That He restores all of these things that once we would have said, when you do that, you can't go home. But God says, at that time, I'm going to bring you home. I will gather you. I will make you renowned and praised among all the people of the earth. When I restore your fortunes. And He's not talking about your money or your monetary value. God restored to me something I lost before I had the ability to ever have a peaceful, loving life and a family. And God gave that to me. And He gave me a pretty awesome one. I mean, I don't want to like brag, but I kind of think my family's cooler than yours. What? Just like I said that, I had, right? I love my family. I love every single bit of my life. He restored my fortunes that I didn't even know I had. And I love you. I love being here. Which is crazy because never in my life would I say, when I grew up, I'm going to go to Los Baños, California, and I'm going to go preach in the church. Bam! But here I am. One minute I'm in a back room thinking I'm going to die of a drug overdose. Next minute, bam! I'm over here in California preaching for you guys. Isn't that awesome how God works? Come on. Right? This is cool. But listen, here's the thing. He says, I'll restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. He said, when we focus just on God taking the judgment away from us so that we can go to heaven, we miss the whole point. And that's why people don't gather. That's all we've ever taught in the church. Just say a prayer, get saved, and move on. And we miss what He's doing. We miss all of this book that we've traded in for a little tract. Man, judgment is not the end. It's not even the goal of God's work. Do we get that? Restoration is the goal of God's work. And He does that even now. He's brought us together. Y'all are part of my family, which is why I get upset when some of you ain't here. I'm like, hey, what happened? You were supposed to come. I didn't see you at the birthday party. Right? You're my family. Restoration is the goal. And when we get this, this is the part. This is why it matters. And this is why Zephaniah starts this section with this. Because when you get all of this, when you know all of this, when you understand what God is doing, that He restores right now, that He's offered all of this for you, that He makes a home for the lame, that he gathers in the outcast, that He restores those of us who are full of shame, when He uses all that, when God does all of that right now, right here, when we wake up in the mornings and we look outside and we see the sun come up, then we can sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem, because this is all that matters. Man, we got to get excited about God. And we need to get a Pentecostal up in here. Is that right, Janet? I mean, I ain't saying we should go all Pentecostal. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but we sure could use some charisma. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little bit different, because now my throat is torn up from yelling. I love to yell. I don't care. Right? I feel like I can't hear myself loud enough and I want to hear myself think. Hey, I'm usually as excited as you are to find out what actually is going to get said. Here's what we're going to do. Rise to your feet. Kyle, can you cue that up for a second? Kyle's going to cue something up here. We're going to try something different. I'm not going to let the worship team come up because they work hard and I want to do something a little bit different. All right, first everybody, take your arms, stretch a little bit. Stretch. Stretch. Hands up in the air. Everybody's hands up in the air. The clappy clap. Make sure you can hit it. Check your peripheral. Clear to the side. You don't want to hit people. Faye, don't take out Kathy. Michaela, that was on purpose, but you know what? It was awesome. All right, here we go. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to worship God. We're going to get excited. If you got to stomp, if you got to dance, don't break dance. I mean, you can if you want, but the insurance will not cover you. You have to fill out a liability form. Okay? And let's enjoy worshiping God. How's that sound? Let's get loud. Let's get rowdy. You guys down for that?
All right, let's try this. Kyle, Jim, crank that up a little bit.
It's early in the morning, you know. It's early in the morning.
Would it
be acceptable if here amongst ourselves, if we broke into something we like to refer to as a hoedown, would that be acceptable this early time?
Yeah, it is. Come on.
Now listen. Listen here. That foot's got to start stomping and hands got to be clapping. It's going to encourage us all and get us all along the road a little bit further. This little song, I Saw the Light by Hank Williams singing.
You
get a little rowdy.
Come on, man, Hank. Come on. Turn that up. Come on. Because Jesus is King, God is God, and He loves you. Amen? Amen. Get out of here.